This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution of Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, LA Impact, Windows and Doors, and Wendy's.
And good afternoon and welcome to The Revolution. My name is Hubert Edwards and I'm sitting in for Juan McCartney. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM and I'm looking forward to having a wonderful conversation with you. As usual, you know the numbers 323-6232, 325-4316 and 325-4259. Our text line is 422-4796. And so there are many things which are happening today. Yesterday, the Prime Minister gave his presentation on the extension of the state of emergency and really made a large plea to the country, to the populace, for, you know, making the argument that, you know, we should go out and get vaccinated. I know that that generally is a challenging conversation at this point in time for those persons who are pro-vaccinated versus the anti-vax and individuals who believe they have the right to not do so. The Prime Minister clearly says that at this point in time, he says the Bahamas has, or at least the government has no intention of making this mandatory. We listen to that. We also took cognizance of information coming out of Jamaica. I always made a comparison, and the argument was pretty much the same. Said the exact same thing. We'll make it mandatory, but we are going to lock you down way tighter than the Bahamas does. Like, curfew start at 7 o'clock in Jamaica. This is, on the ridiculous side, maybe, but so be it. They have made some mistakes, which we have not made to that extent. I think we may have dropped the ball in one or two instances, but they're suffering a little bit more than we are at this point in time. And so the measures must be a little bit more stringent. And so the Prime Minister said what he had to say. Generally, in my view, a comprehensive position. Not a whole lot change other than the shift back of the curfew hours from 10 to 9, and then the outline of the availability of vaccines. And that, I think, is going to be a great shift. While there's a loud shout out there, there's a lot of noise, let me not call it noise because it suggests it may not be valid, but there's a lot of discussion as to persons who don't want to take it. The evidence on the ground suggests in recent time that as the vaccine becomes available now, persons are rushing to get it. And so I believe that when the larger supply comes on island, we're going to see some significant and some great movements in that direction. From my perspective, I believe that if you are up to it, then certainly go and do it. I did a while back now, and you know, I can't say I am fine. So far, I'm okay. The first dose, you know, had me saying my prayers. The second dose was okay. And, you know, the first one was a very interesting one. The fact of the matter is, I believe that it's a personal decision and you choose to give yourself the best chance of, you know, just being normal to some extent. There's a lot of restriction, I think, coming down the pipe for those individuals. And so, you know, if you want to share your thoughts on that, we are open and willing to entertain that. But today, I want to have a different type of a show today. And I want to have the show for this reason. And this is an interesting thing. You know, I honestly tend to shy away from these things, and I don't want you to think I'm being selfish today. I'm not being selfish today. I'm just at the end of that particular rope. Whatsoever becomes after this, so be it. But here's what's happening. Last week, I got a text message from Juan McCartney, and he says, you know, are you available? Would you be a guest host for me? And I say, okay, of course, if it's the revolution. I've never guest host the revolution. I've sat in as a guest. And who wouldn't want to, if you get the opportunity to do this, to be the host of the revolution? You know, it's a very powerful show, popular show. You know, to sit in after Juan McCartney, you're sure not to do anywhere near as good as he does. But you certainly want to have that opportunity. So I said yes. And in his wisdom, he thought, well, you know, if since I'm not going to be here, I need to tell my listeners, my very, very, very loyal listeners, and we could hear that, the persons who like to listen to him. I need to tell them exactly what the setup is going to be. So, you know, he disclosed, I'm gone for 2 weeks, and there are some persons who are going to sit in for me. So on this particular day, I am driving to meet with a friend. I'm going to deliver one of my books. And I'm in the car with my daughter, who happens to be with me right now in studio and, you know, is having some conniptions as to where this conversation may go. But we're driving, and someone texts and said, well, don't bring Hubert Edwards, he's boring. So, okay, here we go. And so she looked across at me and she said, yes, you're boring. So, you know, that's what children do. They believe, you know, whenever you have this conversation with them, you're not supposed to. And then someone said, hey, you know, talks too much. And she looked across at me and said, yes, that is true. You know, you always have something to say. Now, I am there and I'm driving, and internally I'm smiling because this particular person, I don't know him personally, but I know his voice very well. Anywhere, you wake me up in the middle of the night, I know that voice. And I'm saying to my daughter, wait, wait, slow down, don't run so fast. You know, daddy may talk too much, daddy may be boring, but daddy knows some things that you don't know. And today you're going to learn some. And so the conversation went, and Juan McCartney pushed back on the individual a little bit. And the conversation then changed, and the individual went from, yeah, but, yeah, da, da. And then Juan McCartney, being the individual who he is very pointedly say, are you? And then it became clear to my daughter. And I'm driving along East Street, going to, down East Street, South, East Street South. And she looks across at me, and I look across at her. And in that moment, I knew that she understand what but meant. Because she's kind of smart, smarter than I am. And that was a moment when it was for me to say to her that, look, in life, especially given the fact that in a very short while she's going to be leaving and going to another country to pursue her studies, sometimes in life you're going to come up against some buts, B-U-T. And you have to understand and you have to appreciate and you have to be in a position to take away the value. I said to her, think about this. Despite how that outcome sound to you just now, there are a couple of persons who just spent the last 10 minutes discussing your father. Look for a positive. Look for the positive. And so I want to dedicate the show today to that particular human being, the individual who called in, you know who you are. I know who you are by your voice. But I also want to dedicate a show to somebody else, a very important individual. You may not think so, but I'll share who that person is in a bit. Because the reason I said I wanted to have a different type of a show, and I'm not trying to kill Mr. McCartney's segment, but I believe that at some point in time, you have to come to the realization that there are certain things which must be fessed up about, must be talked about, must be openly unwrapped and unpacked if you're going to be comfortable being who you are. I recently had the privilege, and I say privilege because I really believe that it was almost a godsend moment. Even though it developed through a relationship, it was for me almost a godsend moment. I had the privilege of interviewing on my radio show in the evening, Dr. Charles Diggis, who is the main shareholder, president, and CEO of Doctors Hospital System. We had a wonderful discussion prior to the show, during the show. Very, very profound and deep discussion. And one of the things he said on the show on that evening was, after relating the idea that he was, I think, the first person of color to enter the halls of QC, he then underlined this old idea, you must become very, very, very comfortable with being different. Become very, very comfortable with being different. That is not an easy thing, but it's a necessary thing. It's very necessary. Because until and unless you do that and understand exactly who you are bound to find yourself in trouble, in maintaining your own humanity. So the second person I want to dedicate the show to is an individual whose name I will not call, but I will refer to the person as SR for this reason. This individual is an inmate in Her Majesty's prison. He's there now for, I think, over 15 years, serving a 30-year sentence. And what does this have to do with this moment? What does this have to do with any of this? Well, it is simple this. There was a point in time when there was a first encounter, my first encounter with the individual that spoke to Juan McCartney. And that individual pretty much told me that, hey, you know, I think you know some things, but, you know, you should just, you know, pack up your Georgia bundle and go solve the problems in Jamaica. It was a tough moment, a tough statement to take and to accept. But I did nonetheless, because at least maybe I'm not 100% as Dr. Diggis says, but I'm relatively largely there. I am comfortable with being different. I have a fair understanding of who I am. Why am I telling you the story? This is one of the fundamental reasons why this story is important. I got a letter from this gentleman in prison. It was written in January 2020. I got it in June. I guess that's how the system work, and it's clear that multiple person read it just in case you know, he was trying to say anything wrong. But listen to what he says. And I'm not trying to kill this idea. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for any of that. I'm trying to make a big, huge, massive point here today. And that's the importance of seeing beyond our differences and looking deeply within us so that we can identify other person's humanity. That is important. So on that particular day, when I had that first encounter, this inmate was obviously listening to the radio. And he wrote me a very long letter. I'll read portions of it for you. It says, as I listened to your show a few days before I wrote this letter, caller suggested that Bahamians had a difficulty with you as the new host with Jamaican roots. What stood out to me is not the ignorance of the caller, but that you did not choose to fight ignorance with ignorance. For me, it was like a masterclass in how to intelligently respond to negativity. Firstly, while you express your difference to the caller's view, you still gave him the respect of expressing his view with a great amount of humility you display. I don't think the caller realized it, but your response to his negativity legitimized, in my view, why you should be the host for that show. Some people think that they're hurting us, but they're actually helping us. It showed above average maturity on your behalf. Those are the type of lessons that helped to develop me while I'm in prison. The first part I just read, because that's the story. That last line is the thing. Those are the lessons that helped to develop me while I'm in prison. He goes on to say, Juan McCartney is my favorite talk show host, so certainly his favorite spot here. I love his realness and how he uses his journalism skills during his show. Mr. Shivaga Lang is the Bahamian Albert Einstein. I love his critical thinking. Dazzy Demi, a great example of what womanhood should reflect. Mr. Edwards, I love your diversity of intelligence and your motivation style. So what's the import of reading that? I'm not trying to castigate anybody. I'm saying to us that sometimes in a moment of pressure, in a moment of stress, in a moment when you could make the choice to go left or go right, you have to be comfortable with yourself, because you have absolutely no idea who is listening. You have absolutely no idea who is being impacted, who is being affected. And here is a man sitting in prison, with not having the same freedom as us, who saw in the reaction a lesson for him to take. Here is a second encounter where I'm sitting beside my very impressionable young child, and something has been said, not said, been coded in a way which have the potential to have an impact on her. Now, I can say this to you, not this child. This one is tough. The other two, just the same. Why are they like that? Because we see ourselves, first and foremost, as human beings. We accept and we respect the differences of others. And we are always, for the most part, I'm the worst one, we are always trying to do the right thing. Always. But think about the impact it may have on someone else whose mind, whose exposure, whose thinking is not as developed, is not as open-minded, is not as accepting as that. So the large point I want to make here today, and that's why I'm saying it's a different type of a conversation. Because Very often, the experience of that caller, the experience of that individual happens, it takes place. I've experienced it. And there are many, many other individuals out there who experience the same, but may not have the same type of a platform to speak to it. Now, persons may think, and again, you know, feel free to call in, as I said, love to have your input, but we're going to keep it civil, and we're going to keep it fundamental. Persons may think that this is easy. It's not. It's absolutely not. Walking up in here and doing shows or being on radio or writing, and at times when you may say something which may look like a criticism of the government or some other entity, knowing you are who you are and knowing what the psyche of some individuals are, it's not easy. It's absolutely not easy. And that's one of the things I want to kind of divorce persons of today. But I choose to do it regardless of the difficulty. The reason is, one, as an example to my children, that you have to sometimes go through the difficult road. And two, because I believe that I can make a difference. I may pay a price for it, but I believe that I can make a difference. And I'm willing to make that difference, regardless of the price, or the additional price, that is. We have a caller on the line. We have some callers on the line. Caller, you are on Guardian Radio. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
I'm pleasant. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you doing?
I am fantastic, Sparky.
Good. Hopefully the family's doing well.
Everybody's great.
You know, I keep using my age as an example because I know the different stages in my life as I grew up, as I saw my little country evolve.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all of what my eyes saw and what I witnessed, but I heard the Bahamian people's dialect and their quibbles about foreigners and rich people all my life as to why only certain people are wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Why only foreigners come in our country and be able to get this and get that. Why is it so difficult that we, who call ourselves Bahamians, are always at the bottom of the totem pole? You understand where I'm coming from?
I understand you fully.
It seems like anybody could come into our country, whether they be educated, and most of them not as educated as some of our people that went off the university and came back with degrees, master's and doctor's degrees. But still, even them, when they come back with their degrees, they still seem to be at the bottom of the pole. A foreigner comes in and walks right to the front of the line and gets into the theater first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like yourself, from my first heard you, right off the bat, you know, it's only obvious that, okay, West Indian people don't change their dialect. We could tell if you're from Haiti, if you're from Puerto Rico, if you're from Cuba, if you're from Barbados, Trinidad, or Jamaica, because they don't usually change. Bahamians go off to school for 4 years and come back as an American. I don't know why they do it. Maybe they think it's some classy way of talking. People go to England and come back as an Englishman. I don't know why. But what I'm saying to say is simply this. I had a discussion about you one day. I was driving with a friend. And, you know, as a youngster going to a private, I could say white school or upper school, they had a problem because of their dark skin. So their mother, being of Jamaican heritage, who married a Bahamian, sent them off to a Jamaican boarding school. From there, they went from Jamaica. After finished the boarding school, they went to New York. They came back with degrees and so forth and moved up in government and retired the other day. And we were talking, and then she said, I could tell where Mr. Edwards from, you know. He's a city boy in Jamaica. I could tell some of the words he used. He ain't from from the capital. He's from out in the city. I said, how you know that? She said, I just know how they talk because I grew up in Jamaica. But, you know, the Bahamians are funny when it comes to foreigners coming in their country and telling them what to do. They say,
okay.
What I'm saying is, they want to say, well, why do we always need people to tell us what to do? Why we can't do things on our own?
Yeah.
It seems that
I understand
what foreigners say is right. And if a Bahamian go and give the a Bahamian consultant go to the prime minister, for example, and talk to him.
Yeah.
He'll sit down and listen to him. But let a white man walk in there with a coat suit and a briefcase and sit down and talk to him and say, I think you should do it this way. All of a sudden, we back on the plantations and say, okay, yes, a master boss.
All right, thanks.
So we never with nothing. The foreigners got the marinas on the northern coast of New Providence, which is where everything comes in.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that today, Sparky. Yeah. We have some
other callers. But they want Morgan's Bluff too, sir.
Yeah.
What would we ever have? The Bahamas will never have nothing. We will always be bowing down to the master.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Why?
I appreciate it. I will respond to you. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon,
sir.
It's a hard act to follow, after Sparky, you know.
Yes.
But I call into the show, looking at some of the remarks you made, especially when you said you may call in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love the impact made on someone in a prison, and I like to follow through and say that in everything that we do, there will be some person and anyone, regardless of person of state of place of origin, and even in your place of origin, persons that may appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
and person that may not appreciate it.
Most definitely.
As recent as yesterday, a former student of mine said, "I was so hard, and I did not help as much as I should have helped, and if I had helped while he was a weak student, he would have been so far up in life, and he's so happy that I wasn't doing in any sort of big time job, and if I happened to be in any big time job, he was going to go to a certain political figure, I would say that it is someone who is currently in present government, to see that nothing good will come out of me, you know. And at the same time, some other person may say, man, would you belong to those same people who are in power? So you have all kind of mixed situation going around. And I said, I jokingly said to someone, not jokingly, I candidly said to someone else this week when they referred to the foreign agenda or the foreign person. I said, no, man, stop it. It's a silly season, and which I'm not ready to speak to. But you don't have to do the same thing that others do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just like to say I want to commend the strength of your daughter, because sometimes I am not as strong as I should be. I go up and down, you know. Some of my good colleagues, my fellow teachers or former students who are now teachers, say, Mr. B, man, you're too good for this. You shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. And sometimes I feel a little down myself, you know. I say, man, I... But in response to your previous caller, while some persons think that foreigners dominate, sometimes the effect of the negative talk could also affect you. And that's why I say sometimes it affects me. And that's for that reason I may not shoot to the sky. Mm-hmm. When I need to shoot to the sky, I may just shoot for the tree trunk.
Yeah, I...
And so I want to commend you for your program, and I want to say that I think I can survive even in prison. Person
yes.
in prison will be there to appreciate you, and person in prison may be there to say, you really deserve to be here.
I appreciate
so
that.
So there will be the good and the bad in everything that we do.
I appreciate that.
In comments.
Thank you.
About that.
And, you know, in this discussion, I mean, you know, we're trying to stay. We're staying on a positive. We're trying to keep the...
And for that very reason,
yes.
For that very reason, I do my web page and I make it publicly and free, because my goal is education should be free, like 99 cents breakfast.
Okay.
99 cents breakfast. So I was just doing some programming. I went back into the site and look up something, persons who are doing their studies for their pharmaceutical certification,
mm-hmm.
And where they need to brush up with maths and things like that.
Yeah.
And I make it available.
Okay. Thank you for what you do, caller. Certainly, we have some other calls on the line. We want to get through them very quickly. We have a text, and the text says, well, to the guy that wrote the letter from prison, why is he in prison? I think he's in prison for murder. He want to call others dumb. I don't think he said that. He used the word ignorance, but he didn't say dumb. But he wasn't smart. Obviously, I agree with you. You know, whatsoever he did, he made a bad decision. And so he's judging too. Get out of jail, you smart. So obviously the person don't get it. That the point is bigger than that. The point isn't that an individual made a mistake. The point is that in his distressful circumstance, without his freedom, he was able to glean a lesson from a situation. But it's a bigger argument than that, and we'll continue. We have some other callers. Caller, go ahead. Keep it short, please, and let's get through this quickly.
I would love to keep it short, but after this long thing, would you are just now, man.
Yeah.
But do I have to talk about what you're talking about?
Yeah, but I have the ability to go a little bit longer than you.
Of course, I actually know that. But I'm asking you, can I talk about something else?
You can talk about anything you wish.
Okay. I'd like to talk about our healthcare system.
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, our prime minister addressed our country. He actually spoke to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here it is today. Well, you want to talk about the foreign, you know, status and all that type of stuff. Well, that brings is every other person that is foreign, they feel comfortable and they think that they can do the same. And here it is, our prime minister is talking to us about our health care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't wish to be second nature in my country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those clinics that are not open, I'm going to harp on this until the clinics are completed and open. You see, I believe in one government complementing the other government because the money that the former government spent was our money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the government that is going to come in, they're going to take our money to complete that. So when it's completed, it must service us. Okay, that's a topic that I wish to continue forever until it's completed. Service and COVID, according to them, COVID is not going anywhere.
Okay.
I don't believe that COVID should be inside our hospitals. Okay. I don't believe that those nurses and doctors are enough and more should be ordered now that they may be sent to these clinics when they're completed.
No.
You see, we need service, you know. But once again, thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, man. And it's an important topic. I've heard you speak about it on other shows, and you spoke to me about it, and certainly as much as you bring on. Because it's important. It's very important. I think I get the point that you're making. There has to be a level of consistency from one administration to the next, and the development of resources, infrastructure in the healthcare is fundamental, and we are seeing the need for it at this point in time. So thank you so much for your contribution. We have another caller. Let's take this one quickly. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Evans. How are you?
I am doing great.
Yes, maybe I'll say encouraged, be encouraged, but I remember I called the show when you were ambassador with a similar circumstance with a caller,
uh-huh.
And I had called. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, we had an event, a great discussion where you shared a lot about your participation in trying to assist young Bahamians in the area that you're in your profession, which is a good thing. And, you know, even if it was to help the young man sitting in prison, if that would help him, because who knows what emotions he may have been going through would led him to end up in Foxville.
Mm-hmm.
See, it may have been that maybe, oh, yes, he was unlucky in not being able to find work because of a person from another country. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the bitterness, and you're just sitting there and to hear a call. And I think the caller may have opened up his eyes or put a mirror in front of his face to see, well, hey, this is where bitterness or anger could lead me.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if that may have led him, you know, to help him, you know, to a turnaround for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is an opportunity I don't want to tell you, you know, as far as, well, or whatever, but in as far as mentorship, with young men, young Bahamian and foreign men, and the gentleman who called, I think he's a prior educator, former educator, in order to assist, because you have a lot of Bahamians who feel that, and I'm sure you know it, you realize it, that need this mentorship, be it online or something where there's an outreach straight across the board, that would assist these young men and women as well, but women who are missing out there can assist with persons with, so that we can have a better or greater understanding. You understand? And come together. Not just,
I do.
You understand what I'm saying? And not just, and when you come on the show, sometimes one or two of your shows can be directed to this, because we don't need for this resentment develop into hatred and bitterness, because it's not going to get either one of us or our children anywhere. So, you know, we have to all as a people to continue to try and be encouraged, especially during the times that we live in right now.
I agree with you. I thank you so much for your contribution. And, you know, it's not a case of resentment. It's for me, in this particular instance, it's a coming to a point realization. It was the reality that I was in the car at the time with my daughter. I think that was the vulnerability for me, and the fact that this exposure could have gone differently or impact differently or on an individual. Now, here's what is true, and I think Sparky touched on some of this, right? And I respect this to a very high level. There are individuals who have been disenfranchised in their own country here in the Bahamas for whatsoever reason by other persons. And so everyone gets thrown into this big bag, and you know, we discuss persons in broad terms. And so we do not take the time to look to see differences. Someone is trying to take a different approach. And so we know we all throw everybody in the same bag and we turn them around. As you talk about you know, mentoring and stuff. You may not be aware, we do an annual summit every year. We do scholarships, we do leadership awards. And that is a way of giving back. Now, here is what also is true. Going back from the point Sparky made. We need to take a break now. Okay, let's take a break, and then when we come back, I'll pick up on that point right there. You're listening to The Revolution, sitting in for Juan McCartney. Come right back.
Are you ready for effortless hurricane protection?
Then you need to get to know LA Impact Windows and Doors. Forget the plywood and get
the lowest and affordable prices
on hurricane windows and doors for all your residential and commercial projects. You can feel safe and secure with LA Impact Windows and Doors. Located in the Southland Shopping Center, East Street South. LA Impact Windows and Doors. Impacting your views. Call 322-3667 or 829-7822.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to The Revolution. We have in this conversation, maybe a little bit controversial for some persons. I'm not trying to be that. I'm just trying to make a very important point, I think, that when you find yourself in a particular place and you try your best, you try to be bold, you try to be upfront, you try to give as much as you can, and you consistently get these pushback as to why you ought not to do what you do. It hurts. It hurts in a fundamental way. And I don't think persons always understand that. Because often persons see you as being advantaged for whatsoever reason, which is, in my case, not the case. Yesterday, I met a lady and she walked up to me. She introduced herself. She told me who she was, explained where we interacted, and it sounded like someplace I was. She mentioned to me how she would have assisted me in the past. And based on the need I had in that particular place, it was highly likely. I really don't remember, to be honest. I didn't. You know, I'm still trying to wrap my brain. And one of the reasons is, you know, we both had on masks and stuff, so I didn't truly see her face. But it got to the point where there was a discussion about something that she needed, you know, which I could have helped her with in ordinary circumstances. And in that moment, I had to say to her, I wasn't able to. If you know me, any at all, you know I am always willing to help someone. I don't know if she believed me, but in that moment, right there and then, I had absolutely no money. I just used my last $9 to buy lunch. And that was it. And it really kind of turned me inside out that, you know, I was wishing that I had not yet bought lunch, because if that was the case, I would have given it to her. Because she wanted to buy lunch herself. I would have done that. I mean, I've done that many, many times. That's kind of the way I think, the way I do things. But in that particular moment, I wasn't able to. And as I reflected on that last evening, and I decided, you know, I thought about doing this show, and I said, no, you know, get yourself in trouble. Some persons may think. And I said, I'm going to do it. Because individuals sometimes look on and see a particular picture and believe that that represents an advantageous position. And maybe that is the reason, that's one of the drivers to say, hey, you know, why you? But that's not the case. That's not the truth. And I have a couple of stories I will share with you maybe on the other side of the break, right? And again, I'm not going to share these with you for sympathy. Like I mentioned to you, my daughter is here in the studio with me, and she's going to hear these for the first time, because I generally don't talk about these things. But I'm saying to you, the bigger thing here is simply this. It's not about me and you, me and this individual, or the guy in prison, or he's dumb or smart or ignorant. It's about us seeing each other and seeing the humanity, and seeing the greatness and the possibility in each other, and knowing that we have the ability to coexist and do great things together. It is. It's really about the way we think about the big us, bigger than our physicality, bigger than being black, bigger than being white, bigger than being short, bigger than having a different accent, bigger in the sense that we see others through the lens of the image of our Creator. And in that sense, I'm your brother, you're my sister, I'm your brother, you're my brother. And we treat each other at that particular level. Now, my good friend, I like him. And here's one of the reasons why I like him. Even though, you know, he says these things. He's honest. He's upfront. He's sometimes cagey, but he's honest. He says what is on his mind. There are others who won't do that. There are others who you know may be thinking in that direction and they won't say. But in a wider sense, there are persons out there who are just begging for a chance, begging for an opportunity to be their best selves because they just happen to be where they are today, which is here. For whatsoever reason, they are where they are. And they're just begging for an opportunity to be embraced, to be treated with fairness and equity. That's all. So that they too can pursue their own aspirations that all of us have. That they too can see through the lens of self-actualization and believe that they can reach for more, they can become more, they can do more, they can have more, they can give more, they can become their best selves. That's what this conversation is about. It's not about Hubert Edwards. It's not about my good friend who I don't know his name. It's really about how we connect with each other as human beings and understand that on the other side of our words, on the other side of our sentiments, on the other side of our expression, there's sometimes hurt and pain. And there are individuals who are able to deal with that effectively. And they can move on. They may not get to as far as they could have gotten if it was otherwise. But there are other individuals who are frail, who are shaky, who do not have the same depth, the same relentlessness, the same perseverance, and they get crushed. And they're wasted by the wayside. And their contribution, regardless of how you see it, it may be small, it may be bigger, it may be humongous, but their contribution, their potential has now been lost. Lost to us, yeah? Because every single individual's contribution can potentially add and extend the collective greatness of us. That's what we need to understand. My greatness, to the extent that I have it, is here to serve your greatness so that you can become your greatest self. Think about it in terms of that. It's about interdependence. When we exclude, when we crush, when we belittle, when we put down, we destroy that. Empowering individuals, speaking life into them, speaking possibilities, speaking in a facilitative way is really the way to go. And it's all there for everyone. It's all there for everyone. I think we're right up on the news. We'll take the news now. And when we come back, we'll get into the other side of this discussion. I have a couple of stories I want to share with you. I'm not crying. I'm not bawling. I'm not sad. I'm not mad. I just believe that at this point in time, I think I should just say it once and for all. And what better place to say it than on the revolution? You listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't move. Come right back.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Nassau, Bahamas.
For the gunman.
Okay, we're appealing to members of the public, especially from this community, which is a close-knit community, to please assist the police in bringing this matter to closure.
And that is the news at 1 o'clock. I'm Taylor Ferguson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned for updates on the hour. And have a great afternoon.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bella Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bella hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And good afternoon and welcome back to The Revolution. This is Hubert Edwards sitting in for Juan McCartney. And I'm having a discussion, maybe a somber discussion. I don't know how you see it. I was just texting with an individual who was trying to kind of get up to speed on the show. And I was just saying, look, this is something that I believe at this point in time. I just need to, you know, talk about once and for all and be done with it. It won't happen again, but be done with it. And the reason which tipped me to this point, and of course, you know, it's not been done with any rancor or anger or anything like that, is as I indicated to you, it came right home to me with my child there. And it could be anybody else. And it has happened to others. And so if I have the ability to speak to it, may not have the ability to speak to it after this, but I'm going to do it in this moment. And I want to do it with, you know, the greatest of respect, with all of the sensitivity which comes along with that. But what I want you to understand, what I want persons to understand, is that while it is Hubert Edwards today, there are many other individuals who these words represent in many, many ways. Persons who have felt it worse, deeper. Persons who have been hurt. And I think you get to the place where we now need to start to ask ourselves, you know, how can we make life better for each other? How can we make others feel just a little bit more comfortable in their own skin? A little bit more tolerant. Because the lack of tolerance sometimes cuts deep into the soul of some of us. The Texer says, good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. As a Bahamian, I can say I definitely appreciate your contributions. I've learned so much from you about this very country I call my own. So, sir, I consider you a Jamaican Bahamian, so continue to work, continue the great work and contributions you make to our country, your second home. In a strange way, this is my first home. In a strange way, Jamaica has become my second home. I came here and I have done as much as I could, as much as I can. I've walked between the lines, I've stuck by the rules, and I became a Bahamian. And that, I think, is one of the things I want to say today, that not because we are from there, sometimes some people, persons have made a sacrifice, and you know, I don't necessarily need to justify or rationalize why I did it. I became a naturalized Bohemian. It's given up stuff. You may say, well, it's better for me. Yeah, there are advantages, huge advantages. But we do this for our own personal reasons. We do this for the purpose of our children. I have three kids, three Bohemian kids. And so when an individual say, just because they look and they think, they see what they see and they say, you have no right to be, I challenge that. Because in this moment, right in this moment, I am saying, look, I do have that right. And you should not have the ability to say otherwise. You don't. So my good texter, yes, I appreciate that. But definitely, we want to move this forward. Hi, Mr. Edwards, this so-called global medical apartheid creating more discrimination and segregation. I've recently started hearing this word about medical apartheid. I think I understand it's a kind of rich, poor people thing. Should it be? You know, we want to ensure that all persons have equal access, equitable access, fair access, equal access, not equitable, fair access, well, to healthcare. And in terms of any discriminatory action as it relates to persons who may be vaccinated or not vaccinated, we have to look at that. I think you have. I think what you have experienced is sad, but there's a greater issue at play in regards to foreigners mostly while taking jobs that Bohemians are qualified to do. In a lot of cases, the Bohemian is more qualified. This is especially true in the hotel sector. Immigration policy has failed Bohemians. And so this contributed to Bohemians responding the way they do. We Bohemians have become second-class citizens to foreigners with money. If you regard me as a foreigner, I don't have any money, so kind of not in that package. But I do understand you. I honestly do understand you. I'm not blind. I have seen some things. I appreciate some things. But remember, at the end of the day, you know, if you take a broad brush to every single circumstance, you're going to color some people who are not, who need not be colored. You're going to hurt some people. You're going to reward some people who need not be rewarded, and so on and so forth. So be a little bit more clinical, really. This individual said, bro, he's a Bohemian with a Jamaican accent. We understand that. By the way, F&M all the way. That's a good one. We have some callers. Caller, go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say before I share a couple of stories with you.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are on.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the show today. And I must confess, you do, in a selfish way. I share the same ignorance and sentiments that a gentleman would say when he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's reasons why that happened too. As a Bohemian, the elderly gentleman who always called, who was on at first?
Sparky.
Sparky.
Mm-hmm.
Was saying, but I got cut off. I had to jump out my vehicle. But in saying that, I'm a angry person. And yeah, we get mad when we see people, or like you say, people think they look at you one way and think that you always have it all, that you're privileged, man, as you're in the same struggle. That's all, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I want to confess that this show has actually helped me a lot. And like I said, when I first heard you, I shared a sentiment that why is a as ignorant as I was.
Can you speak up some? Speak up just a little bit more, please.
Pardon me?
Yeah, just speak up a little bit more.
Yeah, I was ignorant to things like that, but I was enough to at least give you a try. and I'm speaking in general with everything in every situation, but I'm an angry person plenty of the time. And so, like I said, the show is helping me a great deal because, like you say, you don't know where to get angry people and how deep it cuts. And
yeah.
I just want to encourage you and keep up the good work. And I've been listening to you, even when I didn't agree with you. I've been following you, and for the most part, I think you are a genuine person to try to bring as much knowledge to the nation.
Yeah, thank you so much. I tried to be. Okay. So, we have another caller. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening to all.
Good evening, sir.
You know, Mr. Elvis, my issue, right, is it's not about your race, your nationality, your ethnicity, or, you know, it's about the class. You see, it's a class war we in today. You see, it doesn't matter. Like immigrants in this country, right? They serve the interests of a particular class of people. You see, and that's what makes it a problem for the poor in this country. You see, so they play into wherever they go. That's capitalism. You know, it's all about, mm-hmm. about cheap labor.
Yeah.
You see, and that's what it is. So. What I looking for in this country from an immigrant is especially a one like yourself, one from civil society is a Che Guevara. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking for Jeremy Corbyn.
Okay.
A Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
You see, that's what's important. You see, we formulate policies in this country that only benefit the classes above.
Uh-huh.
You see? And that's a problem. You right. see? That's a problem. That's why we have parties that call themselves by name a national party,
mm-hmm.
and want to progress above a progressive party. But come on, man. The Indians, I'm sad to say, they are not dumb, because they got most of us up, all of our senses.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Thank you so much.
They are ignorant. I'm telling you,
yeah.
A vast majority of the Indians don't know what you call it, a rubber stamp is.
All right. Thank you. Thank
they
you.
Would say that all the Senate, some of us have said, oh, the Senate is a rubber stamp.
All right.
But
all right.
The legislative branch is a rubber stamp as well.
All right. Appreciate your contribution, sir. We have some other callers. We need to go to them. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead. Hello, caller. Go ahead. You're on Guardian Radio.
Hello.
Go ahead. No, we have another caller online. Go ahead, caller. Hello, go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, you. But how you doing?
Hi. How you doing, Anton?
Everything good, man. Good afternoon to the nation. Just wanted to say that, you know, it's always been my pleasure, personally, listening to you on the airwaves, and I've said this to you during your show. I will repeat it again. And I remember that particular show that your letter writer wrote about, because I was an avid listener of your show, and I thought it was very distasteful and disgusting of the individual who I think called your show today. It was very classless of the individual
to make such statements.
I'm not seeking to be negative. Yeah, I'm just describing. Just
be
what
nice.
It was,
be nice with the adjectives.
In an objective way.
Still be nice with the adjectives.
Yeah, you know, in an objective way, completely. But I also said to myself that I hope that this level of thinking doesn't lead to your show coming to an end on Guardian. To be quite frank, you know, because. You know, certain people, when they make these nasty derogatory comments, it has a tendency to give the wrong impression
mm-hmm.
of the individual on a general level,
okay.
right? And I'm very, very pleased to hear you on the airwaves again yesterday and again today, and I'll end with this. Hubert, I've found in many of these talk show hosts who claim to be mature and objective, they don't know how to appreciate being scolded respectfully, objectively, and frankly, and still be able to maintain their humor, still be able to maintain their composure and their integrity, and still treat you with the same level of respect. They act as though they are above the fray, and they cannot be scolded. You never presented yourself that way. You always presented yourself in a humble disposition and as someone who was still prepared to help the individual out, even while being scolded. And I give you kudos and honor for that and respect. And I hope that one day, soon enough, whoever the powers to be, who makes those decisions, will see the wisdom in bringing your voice, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your experience back to the Day Show, Airwaves, on the Guardian. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anton, and thank you for your sentiments. Again, I'm not trying to get too deep down there, but the bottom line is, and I thought about this long and hard, right? And if what I'm saying here today, understand where I am mentally. If what I'm saying here today disqualifies me from the moment I walk off here today, then so be it. I would have done my obligation to my child, who is sitting in the studio with me today, and I would have demonstrated to her the way you ought to live, even in the face of challenges, even in the face of potential danger and risk. You do what is right. At some point in time, every single human must defend their humanity. You have a right to it. I will defend mine, and I will defend yours, and I will defend the other person's to my last breath. Maybe over the top for some people, but that's how I see things. It's simple. I'm not trying to make me the matter. This is a conversation I'm having about a bigger issue through me, through my experience. Carla, go ahead. You're on The Revolution.
Hello,
go ahead.
Yeah. That young man seems to be trying to lure you into politics, my friend.
The lure is never, ever the problem. It is your response thereto. So you don't have to worry about that.
No, I'm not concerned about you in politics.
Yeah.
I just like to listen to you because you're very objective in the way you approach things, but I could guarantee you this, if you get into politics, you're going to be challenged with your objectivity.
Oh yeah, I do agree with you. It seemed to be a necessary shift to be in politics.
So stupid we are when you think about it. I mean, when you really, really sit down and think about over the years what we've been doing to ourselves, it's shameful in the face of those who look on from the universe, you know, because we don't seem to believe that the planetary objects are actual living beings that really have an opportunity to see what we're doing and to say, you know what, maybe one of them cannot be up here.
Okay.
So maybe we should just keep them down there. But I like the way you run your show. And I just tuned in, so I just thought I should pick up on what Anton was saying.
Yeah.
So I didn't go with it, but I heard you say you have your daughter in the show.
She's in studio with me today. I brought her because we have some other place to go.
In fact, let me tell you a little story that I learned from some Indian friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
When a baby is born, boy or girl, mm-hmm. you know what they do? Normally the mother, she takes care of the nurturing and all that stuff, but you know what the father does? He takes that girl or that boy into the bushes, mm-hmm. teach them every plant.
Yeah.
And that's how they get that jump on us, because they know the name and the medicinal value of plants. Now, I've learned that from an Indian friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be working very well for them, because when I check it out, most of them are slim.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You hear me, sir?
Okay. All right.
Most of them are slim and they're fit despite the political garbage that he got to deal with, they are very fit people, because some of them could walk 150 miles in a day easily, and I don't know how many Bahamians will do that without a...
You'd have to keep walking around the island to get 150 in some islands. But thank you so much for your contribution. I want to read something from my book, Think, Act, Grow, before I get into a couple of stories I will share with you. And the book is a strange type of book. It's not something that you pick up and you read. You know, it's just it's a book. It's a number of quotes with short reading, and so it's pretty easy to go through. And then it asks for some activities. But this one, I think I will read so that you can have an understanding, or at least I'm trying to give you an understanding of the way I think about things. The quote says, "I am my father's son and my son's father. Do not expect me, therefore, to be less than the royalty I am. My heritage dictates that, my legacy demands it. Never turn down the potency of your potential to accommodate others' insecurities." I coined the words above in a moment of extreme pressure and unreasonable expectation by others. How do you deal with the pressure situations of your life? How do you respond to unreasonable expectations? Do you see yourself as others wish to define you, even if their image is incongruent with how you desire to be seen? How you respond to these questions will fundamentally impact the way you live and your ability to grow in adverse circumstances. I remember clearly when I realized that there were individuals who perceived me as overambitious simply because I was from another place. Their expectation, it appeared, was that I should moderate all ambitions and limit my view of my personal potential. It was not my place to be aggressive, to seek to grow beyond the narrow space within which they allowed me, allowed in quotes, to operate. I refuse to be so defined. While such a decision may come with adverse circumstances, you should never allow others to decide what you can do, what you can become, how you go about doing so. Regardless of what is the normative behavior, there is absolutely no benefit in tuning down your potential to make others feel comfortable with you or to assuage their insecurities. We have an overt obligation to live at our best and pursue our desire to the fullest. Everything that slows this process should be seen as an obstacle to be overcome and never reasons for accommodative capitulation. I am my father's son suggests that we look at self through the eyes of our forebears and question whether they would be comfortable with our current behavior. If you are like me, with proud parents who sacrifice so that life could be better for you, then turning down the light they have gifted us should never be a consideration. Our obligation is to shine brighter. The declaration that I am my son's father underlines our obligation to become prominent examples for those who look up to us for guidance. Will they be proud of the actions we take when we come under pressure? Will they be delighted to emulate our actions? And will we be satisfied to see them emulate us? No one should expect you to act lesser than you are capable of being or becoming. Any person who harbors these expectations is belittling your humanity and harming your potential. Similarly, we should never expect others to behave below their potential. In fact, we should take up the obligation of helping others, refusing to become like those who would harm another person's progress. The rationale is simple. We all have purposes in life, and this awareness should dictate how we behave. Likewise, we must consider ourselves duty-bound to leave the world a better place, and that demands that we always act to achieve our greatest potential. That, ladies and gentlemen, is where I've sat down and written. And that's just how I see life. I believe that my job, my role, my responsibility is to always help somebody become better, to become more. I've done it repeatedly. I'm not trying to brag or I'm not trying to boast about anything. I'm simply saying that at some point in time, we too have to speak to the hurt. We just want a space. I personally just want a space to express myself. And this is not asking for anything. This is not saying make it easy. I can deal with difficult. The challenge is dealing with unreasonable expressions. Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. I want to encourage you to continue to educate us, sir. There are more of us who appreciate you than the ones who are selfish. I won't say that word. I want to apologize to your children. Please let them know we love them. I thank you for loving them. But they're good. They're always good. They're way, way, way stronger than I am, actually. They're more radical than I am in many ways. Let's get through the rest of these texts very quickly. No subject. There's nothing there. Sorry about that. Mr. Edwards, I consider you to be a good Bahamian. Thank you so much. I don't care about your Jamaican accent. I have interacted with many Jamaicans. I have had no problems with any of them. I love them because they're very nice to me and only want to contribute and earn a living and support the families like anyone else. Bless you. Okay, another one. It doesn't disqualify you. I like your show. Was just sharing the other side that affects your experience. I totally agree with you. Texter, you send this thing and you talk about immigration policy and stuff. Believe me, I do understand what you're talking about. I do understand. I sit in a place sometime or in places sometime where I see a lot. I'm not a very talkative person. I don't jump up and make a lot of noise, but I see a lot of things. And I understand and I do appreciate, and believe me, I feel the pain of many Bahamians many times because there are instances where the treatment isn't right. I do feel that pain. Hubert Lester R. Cox, be encouraged. You are well on the way to full Bahamian adoption. Your situation reminds me of, oh man. There was a whole lot of pushback against, now he is a homeboy. You know, my good friend, I accept your sentiments. There's some aspects of that which we can discuss further, but, you know, we'll talk about it. Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. You have taught us many lessons over the year. I will say we should be able to challenge the idea, belief, or policy without attacking the individual. Psalms 34:14 says that we should seek peace and pursue it. We should not be contentious, unreasonable just because we can. Our collective goal should be to make our Bahamas and the world a better place. Great show. I definitely agree with you on that. We should work assiduously to do that. Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. Where can I purchase a copy of your book? The book is available at New Life stores, and shortly it will be available at Logos, and you can get copies from me. So you may want to shout me at my number. It's 376-8951, 376-8951. I'm sure the station is going to charge me for that. So that was an impressive and inspiring excerpt. Please keep up your good work. I thank you for that. Mr. Edwards, could you please read my 25-cent text, please? I am trying to read your text. A couple of them came in and they are only showing the subject. I think it's a size. If you break it up, then I will be able to get it. We have some callers. Let's take these calls very quickly as we come into the end. And I still have a couple of stories I need to share with you very quickly. Caller, go ahead. Keep it short. Let's hear what you have to say.
A godly day to you, Jack, and a wife so long with you. You what?
A godly day to you. Much love and blessings.
Yes, much happy return. I've listened to a portion of your monologue from your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is very much logic. The father is the man of his house, and he's not going to define you. He's not going to try to define you.
Mm-hmm.
But you must define yourself, mm-hmm. and your objective must not be established in his house, because he is the man of his house.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yes, I agree with you.
Thank you very kindly. Bremen Darling Ferguson is the name.
Loud and clear, Mr. Darling. I hear you. we don't have another card, but okay. So let me share with you a few quick stories, and these stories are simply designed to say to you that oftentimes we see individuals and we believe that, you know, they have it all going on and things are nice and easy. So I came to the Bahamas a while back, and you know, I was fortunate. I was really fortunate to be recruited to work here by my good friend Anthony Kiki Varakis, a man who I love to death. I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't interacted with him in a while, but we'll always maintain a special place in my thoughts. And you know, I came in and I understood based on our discussion that, you know, certain things would happen. They didn't happen like that, because when we got to the point to discuss, somebody other than him said to me very clearly, well, you know, that wasn't the expectation. And so very early in my trod here in the Bahamas, I started to realize that sometimes things don't really always go the way they seem. You will get some persons will make promises to you sometimes, and you know, it don't work out. And I think that happens everywhere in the world. So, you know, not too much of that. But all I'm saying is that very, very early, I face certain challenges which I had to deal with. I got to the point where, as an accountant, you know, I think I was okay. I was good enough to be somebody as an accountant. And while there may have been some rules and some challenges, I remember trying to get a license. And I remember the lady, she's not there now, obviously she's gone, I don't know where she is, but I remember that lady saying to me very unequivocally that as long as she was there, I would never get a license in this country. And I'm telling you the honest truth. There's one of my colleagues, Kendra Christie, we joke about this all the time. And we laugh about it, right? And I really chuckle every time we mention it. You always say, you know, no, that lady didn't really like you. What the party didn't appreciate was how deeply that cut. Because that particular decision, whether or not it would have been favorable or not, changed the trajectory of my career in many ways. I have already at the time decided, hey, you know, Bahamas is going to be the place I will ply my trade. And it changed it fundamentally. I got to the stage where I left. I went to another organization. I remember sitting down with this individual who said to me, look, you know, if I was younger, maybe 20 years, I wouldn't be here. And I just couldn't imagine why this individual was saying this. Like, you know, you are a leader. You're supposed to be encouraging individuals to move forward. Carla, I see you. I'll come to you in a second. And so I went to another place because, you know, you have to do what is necessary to take care of, you know, your family. And so some persons look and see you at this place and say, you know, you have it going on. I went to another business place, and my outlook changed the day I walked in on a significant leader having a conversation with someone who was junior to me, saying, soon you will see, and these were his exact words, soon you will see this boy wanting to run this place. That, at that point in time, was almost like a dagger through my heart. Not necessarily because I believe I would eventually be able to do that, but because leaders don't do that sort of thing. And I say that to say to my friend who called in that these have been experiences that I've seen and I've gone through over and repeatedly, and still I refuse to bow to that sort of a thinking. I refuse to be angry. I refuse to think that that represents the majority of anyone on this side of consciousness. I don't. I will not. Because I really understand that it is not. But the point I'm making here is simply this. I will continue to work to be the best that I can. And I encourage everyone else to do so. And if I can help you, then certainly reach out to me. And if you can help me, then certainly you should. But at the end of the day, remember your job, your purpose is to help each other to grow. To help each other to grow. Carla, go ahead. Carla, go ahead. You are on the revolution. Hello, Carla. Not there. All right, we lost that person. Sorry about that. Please call back. So let's take a break here now, and then when we come back, we'll wrap this up. But all I'm trying to say to you today, I'm not killing this point. I'm trying to say to you, I've gotten to a place where I believe that it was useful for me to speak to this. And hopefully, my experience would save some other person or persons from a similar experience. You listen to The Revolution. Come right back.
Are you ready for effortless hurricane protection?
Then you need to get to know LA Impact Windows and Doors. Forget the plywood and get
the lowest and affordable prices
on hurricane windows and doors for all your residential and commercial projects. You can feel safe and secure with LA Impact Windows and Doors. Located in the Southland Shopping Center, East Street South. LA Impact Windows and Doors. Impacting your views. Call 322-3667 or 829-7822.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Wendy's, spicy means Wendy's spicy. Unlike the other guys, our spicy activates all your senses. For a taste of Wendy's spicy, try the new Chipotle Crunch Cheeseburger made with fresh beef or the new Chipotle Crunch Chicken Sandwich, both with delicious crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Taste the Wendy's spice in every bite of irresistible Chipotle Crunch Chopped Fries too. Stop it today for the flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Welcome back to The Revolution as we move into the last few minutes of this show. I want to thank my good daughter for accompanying me today, you know, providing moral support. Safia Edwards, she's sitting inside here. She was throwing a nice salute to the world. They can't see the salute, but yeah, that's fine. So we have some other callers. Carla, go ahead. Let's hear from you. Carla, go ahead. You are on The Revolution. We have another caller. Carla, go ahead.
Hi, Hubert. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing great.
Excellent. Hubert, the purpose of my call today is I just want to thank you for your very encouraging, powerful, uplifting words. I believe that you are actually reaching some persons who either entrepreneurs in particular who need that extra boost of confidence through your words you are actually imparting today, but also those professionals who are actually still out here in the country want to do a little more, but are unable to do more because of circumstances. Personally, I just wanted to say thank you for your words. I'm here. I've been listening to your entire program. Just decided to call before you close your show just to say thank you.
Okay.
Yes. You need those encouragements from time to time. Okay? So thank you again.
Not a problem. And again, it's about the larger issues, not simply about me. I'll be fine. Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. Just started tuning in. Sorry I missed the intro, and I confess I don't know a lot about you. What's your background, and what's the name of your book? Oh, you're an accountant. Okay, thanks. Keep on doing. Oh, my background. I am from Jamaica. I was born in a place called Brownstown, St. Anne. I grew up in a place called Benin, which is next to... it's a village. It's next to a village called Goshen, and it's next to a village called Egypt. And so I always tell people that I'm from Africa because of the names of those places. And I had the opportunity to go to college, very, very humble circumstances, extremely humble circumstances. Had the opportunity to work for a while as an accountant, came to the Bahamas. I've lived there for the last 20 plus year, and I try to work and I try to do the best that I can in terms of giving back to the country. I do a number of things, so it's generally something I don't like to talk too much about myself, but I'm just a little country boy trying to make life better. For the most part, not for me, certainly for my kids, my family, and for those else who I interact with. I have lived long enough in circumstances which have been challenging enough to be able to survive pretty much any and everything. I'm good. But there are individuals out there. I live here in the Bahamas, and I'm from a community, from a diaspora, the Jamaican diaspora. And I know of persons who hurt badly because of things like this, which is directed to them. And I want to speak for them. I want to speak on their behalf. I want to speak up for them to say, at the end of the day, you have to be disciplined. You have to play by the rules. You have to do all that is right. But to have an expectation of a bit of accommodation is reasonable. It's truly reasonable. Carla, go ahead quickly, as we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Mr. Edwards, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, man. I'm a first-time caller. 5 years ago, I think it was, that I attended a seminar that you actually put on over at Super Club Breezes.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Success Summit.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Exposed to the prolific presenters, the fallacious Carlos and those, Carlos Mackey and all the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Great seminar, man. I like your approach with respect to this. You're not pointing directly at yourself. But what is important is not just the person, but the quality of life and the quality of contribution that you've made. And I can say that for what I've been a part of and my listening to you, and of course, I think would have been the apex would have been that interview that you had with Dr. Diggis the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The first rule of life really has to be not allowing people to define you. Know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my best mentors and mentees I've said to individuals have been people who don't look like me. Who don't talk the way I do, who don't think the way I do, because what a boring world we would have if people look like you or you want to measure up to what people aspirations are for you. But let me just tell you, man, you're a patriot. Go forth and whatever you decide to do, whether here or anywhere, let me tell you, it's that quality that you bring to the table. And let me tell you, the impact that you've made on this country is phenomenal. Take care, man. Do well.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Okay.
So Here's the 25 cent text. Good afternoon, Mr. Edwards. Please check Anton. Please check Anton was banned from one show. I didn't know that because he was something. I guess his behavior wasn't good. He's always tried to overtalk the oaths, and when he don't get his way, he's like a spoiled child. It's refreshing not to have to listen to his rhetoric every day. I had no idea Anton was banned from the show, but, you know, he's never been disrespectful to me. He's never been anything, you know, he, Anton being Anton, I think his exuberance for his party and his political lineage comes out from time to time. But, you know, sometimes if we listen to the noise, there's a lot there to be heard. As we come to the final minutes, I want to read again, and someone asked what was the name of the book. The book is Think, Act, Grow, Thoughts and Reflection for Self-Leadership. I think this will be the last one I'll be able to get in. This one comes under the quote which says, the nature of a man causes great temptations to be selfish. That is true. We are all, in many ways, we have a tendency to kind of lean to selfishness. And that's what we have to fight against. So this one says, understand that great success often follows failures. Your existence should never be solely about self. This may appear to be a highly philosophical stance, but I truly believe it is an important outlook we all should have. When we observe the behaviors of people, the behaviors people generally display, it is understandable if we conclude that many of us are very selfish. The human being's first instinct is to survive within their environment. In our modern existence, this could mean fighting to get ahead of everyone or seeking to accrue all possible value for oneself, taking all the credit for work done by others, being deceptive and conniving. Unfortunately, engaging in selfish acts leads to personal suffering and could ultimately lead to a ruinous end for self and others. The parable of the scorpion and the frog is used to demonstrate one aspect for which human nature is hardwired. The kind frog and the stinging scorpion came together in an act of kindness initiated by the frog, and it led to both their demise. Compelled to live out its instinct, the insect could not help but to kill its only source of survival at a stage where its action had only one inevitability. One potential lesson, which is not articulated as a moral of this parable, is that the kind person has an obligation to help the unkind person from meeting their own destruction by sometimes being slow and careful in helping them. Some opportunities should be denied or delivered with great caution, where the individual's demonstrated mode of behavior is destructive and will hurt others. Close association should be avoided. These are never persons to be carried on your back where there are safer options available. It's not a matter of being unkind, but of accepting the risk posed by the consistently displayed tendencies of the individual. Help, but be sure to stay outside the reach of their venom. Remember, not only will you be hurt, but so too will the perpetrator. By protecting yourself, you're in fact offering a veil of protection for them as well. And this is what I'm saying, and this is what I'm doing here today. For you to understand, for any individual out there who think in a particular way, to understand that the idea of curbing your thinking, of seeing things differently, of looking through your higher eyes, through your bigger humanity, will ultimately protect you. Because as Mandela says, you cannot expect to drink poison and then expect your enemy to die. You hating on somebody, you not accepting someone, you rejecting an individual is only pouring poison into self. You are the one, ultimately, who will die because you refuse to think differently. We have time for one quick call, a couple of minutes. Go ahead, caller. You have 30 seconds or so.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
It's unfortunate that you find your good self in such a predicament at the early stages, but we must give thanks to the Almighty God because He's always in control.
Mm-hmm.
An unfortunate situation happened for many behemoths at the hands of a Jamaican who works, I wouldn't call his name, who works at Bahama for a specific company that
you can't say that.
But many demons. But I'm sorry that something like that takes place. But I like the story or the statement that you just read, that the person would not hurt for it, but the people who do these things will eventually hurt for it. And I am so sad because I am one of the victims that was victimized about 7 years ago by this same individual. And before he hired me, who qualified to do the job, he hired 3 other people to take my place, and it never worked out.
Okay, thank you so much. And, you know, as we come to the end, we have 60 seconds or so. Let me say this. Let me say this unequivocally. If you are from another country, Jamaica or wheresoever it is, and you come into this country, and you find yourself in a position of advantage, and you use that and leverage that to disadvantage poor Bahamians, struggling Bahamians, individuals who are just simply looking to be a better person, to grow and to flourish, you're doing great violence to humanity. You should not do it. Whether you're a teacher, doctor, nurse, whatsoever your position, you should always remember, that we who sometimes feel the squeeze should certainly never ever be the first to deliver. Our job, our role, just like everybody else, is to work for the betterment of all of us. So I want to close today by saying thank you for listening to me. I don't know if you'll hear me again. I have no reason to think that you won't hear me again. But thanks for allowing me to share. And I hope that through that interaction, you have a better understanding of exactly where I stand, where I sit, and why I wanted to share this with you. I always end my evening show by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. And all left is to say, walk good, one love, blessing, Ubuntu.